Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm joined in the studio with my brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What's up, Patrick?
Yeah, we have an amazing guest to bring on the show today. His name is Steve Dawson. He's the founder and president of St. Paul Street Evangelization. Awesome. Dan, this ministry started several years ago, and it was one of the first apostolates that I ever saw to take up JP2's challenge when he said, "Do not be afraid to go out into the streets and public places like the first apostles who preached Christ and the good news of salvation in the squares of cities, towns, and villages. This is not the time to be ashamed of the gospel. It is the time to preach it from the rooftops," end quote. Dan,
Amen.
As the church is inviting us to a new level of boldness and power, my prayer is that every listener today will take time to receive a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit in what is said, and to know that there is more that God wants to do on us and a greater hunger that we can have. Dan, before we go, can you start us off in prayer for that hunger?
Yeah, man. Patrick, you already got me fired up.
More.
Listeners, I pray
that
you are fired up. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Good and gracious God, we love you. We adore you. We worship you. We acknowledge that you are so much bigger than we are. We acknowledge that you are Lord of heaven and earth, that you have created us for love, out of love, and in love. Lord, we know that you are the source of all life. You are the source of all joy. You are the hunger of every human heart. You are the desire that man seeks at every moment. Lord Jesus Christ, you are everything, and you desire that we give you everything. We pray, Lord, that we would see not just people walking past us, but that we would see eternal souls everywhere we go, and that we would have the same hunger for souls that you have, that we would thirst like you thirst, that we would bring all souls, your children, back home to your loving Father. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would empower us with the gift of your Holy Spirit, that we would accomplish works, signs, and wonders in ways that we never thought we could, that you would blow our minds and exceed our expectations. Come, Holy Spirit, make us your missionaries. Praise you, Jesus.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Father, I just pray that through the power of the word that we preach, the gospel of who you are, of what you're inviting us into, Lord, that we would have a greater faith and confidence in the power of the word to be a seed planted to people that even in an instant could receive that word and bring forth salvation. So, Lord, we just pray for that boldness and zeal that we could look and walk and love and minister and heal like Jesus. And we pray all these things in his name.
Amen.
Amen. Woo!
I want to be a spirit-filled evangelizer, Patrick.
Yeah, you know why? Because Pope Francis wants me to.
Exactly.
He's so good.
Pope Francis, I think Jesus wants us to
You're kidding.
Yeah.
He was a spirit-filled evangelist.
He was a spirit-filled
evangelist. You know that he didn't do any miracles until he was baptized.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I got baptized.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit descended upon me, and now I'm released to do signs, wonders, and miracles
Amen.
Like him.
Amen.
Because he dwells in me.
Yeah, we could transform the world like Jesus has transformed the world. But I feel like a lot of people don't actually believe that in the depths of their heart, that they are called to literally transform souls and bring them to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ.
There's only one reason that I think people believe that is because they... You know, St. Paul said that we need to be transformed by the renewal of our mind.
Mm.
And what are we called? What is God calling us to be formed into? It's Jesus. You know, he is he's the firstborn of all creation, right? We're being made into his image. And so how are we made into his image? We have to renew our mind and know who we're called to be. So for example, Dan, if my image of mature Catholic Christianity is anything but Jesus Christ, then I'm going to fall short.
Mm.
Okay, so for example, you know, like we're growing up and you're like, you know, you're going to school and you're like trying to figure out what it means to be a good student.
Yeah.
And then you have that friend over there that seems to be doing all the right things. So you kind of mimic what they're doing.
Yeah.
But then you realize that they're actually not that great and they're not a great student. And then you find out that you're not a great student because you're just mimicking them.
Yeah.
And so it all depends on who is our model, right?
Who's the standard? I think a lot of times we look at the mediocre, complacent American Catholic Church and we say, hey, I'm doing better than them. I'm not just an Eastern Catholic Christian. I go to Mass every week, so I must be doing something right? And our standard has become the people of God as opposed to God himself.
Ooh, that's a good word. Yeah. When I was at my old house, I framed my basement.
Oh, wow. That's a challenging. That's difficult.
I framed my basement. I learned how to do it on YouTube. Mm. All right. Has anyone out there ever tried to undertake a big task by getting training on YouTube?
I tried to change my brakes on my truck one time on YouTube.
Yeah.
It worked after a couple hours.
Here's what happened. I bought, a laser saw, a saw that had a laser line on it and everything. I got everything I needed. I needed to cut for this one wall all of my boards just under 8 feet. Okay. This is my basement. And so... these 8 foot boards, I got, 8 foot studs for framing. And then, I remember I take the tape measure and I had exactly the measurement and I mark it and then I cut it. And I had to do 100+ of these boards. It was going to take a long time. And then I have to, put my tape measure out, mark it, cut it. And it took forever. And I thought, man, I could save a lot of time if I just took one of these boards that's already been marked off by this measure. And then I could cut it, and then I could just start measuring every board by this board, right? Or take the next one and then measure it after I cut it on the other 8 footer. Are you seeing this?
I'm seeing this.
So do you know what happened after I was done?
I don't.
Okay, they weren't all the right measurement. Some were longer, some were shorter. The wall was a mess.
Uh-huh.
What's the point I'm trying to make, dude?
I don't know.
The point I'm trying to make is that Jesus is like that measure. He's the actual measure. And unless we're allowing ourselves to be measured by him, then we're going to allow people that came after him to become the measure.
Oh, wow.
And I love the saints. The saints point to the life of holiness.
Yeah.
But the saints can never be Jesus.
Yeah.
And I can't pick one. I think deception that we can fall into is we can pick our favorite saint and say, well, I just want to be like them.
Yeah.
And actually they would slap you if you want you make them an idol, basically.
Or I think even a greater deception is that we look at the saints as if they're unreachable, right? I could never be like them. Like, they're something special. They're a special kind of Christian, and I'm not that special. And once again, we're just following these different measures, and we're not looking to Christ. What does Christ want for me, and who is he as a standard?
And so basically, I think that's what's been happening in the church. We've been, with evangelization and the power that God that lives inside of us, like the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. And actually, it's not about us doing these great works of evangelization. It's about Jesus doing them through us. Mm. And so it all comes back to that measure. Who am I? What am I supposed to look like? And unless Jesus is our measure, we're going to allow ourselves to get measured wrong and not actually be part of the foundation. So these boards were needed to build this structure.
Yep.
And since they were wrong, they couldn't be used. And so God wants, I think the first thing is we need to go back to the gospel, look at Jesus, and we see what Jesus did. He healed the sick. He cleansed lepers. He raised the dead. He cast out demons wherever he walked. If he didn't see what looked like heaven there, he prayed to bring heaven to earth. Yeah. And unless we have that same kind of mindset, what would Jesus do in the situation? Okay. Then, I think we're going to miss it. And so I'm so excited for St. Paul Street Evangelization. I'm going to read this quote again. Okay. Mm-hmm. Pope John Paul II said this in Denver in 1993 during World Youth Day. And this is really set, I think, the standard for what it's supposed to look like in our generation. And the church's job is to actually bring the gospel and preach it in a way that, this generation can hear it, right? To communicate the gospel. And he said this, "Do not be afraid to go out on the streets and into public places like the first apostles who preach Christ and the good news of salvation in the squares, towns, and villages. This is no time to be ashamed of the gospel. It's time to preach it from the rooftops." Boom.
Boom.
And there's all these awesome scripture quotes in there that we need to get the gospel outside the four walls of the church.
Yeah.
And 2010 or 2011, I can't remember. I remember coming across St. Paul Street Evangelization. I actually started a chapter in Cincinnati for a while. Yeah. And was doing the stuff. And it was the first apostolate that was helping train, encourage, equip Catholics to go out and bring our faith there. And so I'm excited to bring Steve on the show. Are you ready to bring him on?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Let's Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Patrick.
Are you on fire?
Oh, brother, just listening to you, you guys make me on fire.
Fire!
Yeah!
Fire, Steve.
More. More. Double it, Lord. Thank you, Father. So
come,
we have, so Steve, You started this amazing ministry. Before we get to that, I want our listeners to hear about the man you used to be, okay? Like, the dead man, you know? Can you talk about the old self? Tell us about what your family was like, your faith and family growing up.
Oh, man. Well, that's a big story, but I'll try to keep it short. You know, like so many in our culture today, I was baptized Catholic, but I really wasn't raised in the faith, in the sense that my mom, by the time I got baptized, my mom had fallen away from the faith, and she married my father, who was not even a Christian. He didn't have any religious background at all. And the only reason really why I was baptized in the Catholic Church was because that's what you do. You know, my mom thought, well, I should have him baptized. You know? I think probably my grandparents said, you got to get those kids baptized, you know. So we were baptized. I went through CCD. But, you know, growing up, I don't remember learning about God in the house or hearing about God in the house. We didn't pray grace. We didn't talk about God. He was just completely off of my radar. And when we did go to church, which was rarely, I remember, you know, not wanting to be there. And my parents would, you know, we would make a fuss. So they would just, like, let us go back into the, you know, in the conference rooms outside of the church, you know, and play. So I think the bottom line was just that I did not grow up with a deep faith or any faith at all.
Wow.
And you know, I started going off the path. I was really, got in a lot of trouble in middle school even. I mean, the first time I was arrested, I was 13 years old.
What? You were 13?
Wait, this is really funny because I've known Steve for a while, and I would never, like, peg you as the kind of person that got arrested.
I thought you were like a homeschooler, Steve.
Homeschool student.
I've been arrested, I don't know how many times.
Okay, so tell us the first arrest, okay?
Yeah, the first arrest. I think it was maybe 7th or 8th grade. I thought, you know what I needed? I thought I needed excitement in my life. So I thought one of the best ways I could go about having this excitement is driving. And so in the middle of the night, I think it was like 2 a.m., I snuck out my dad's brand-new Thunderbird Super Coupe.
Oh, no.
This thing was the brand spanking new. I mean, I just, you know, I opened up the garage and I pushed the car out because I didn't want to start the car in the garage because I thought I'd wake my parents up.
You're so smart. Wow.
Yeah.
If by smart you mean evil.
My heart is pounding, okay? We live on kind of like a hill, so I pushed the car down the driveway and
wow.
It rolled at the bottom and I
You deserve to be arrested.
So I was driving around and never driven before, ever. And so next thing I know, I'm face to face with a police officer in his car. So I'm in a parking lot, I'm looking at him, he's looking at me. And I said, oh, no. So I just kind of, like, waved him on. And he shook his head. You go. And he waved me on. And then the next thing I know, I'm just, my heart's pounding. I'm driving. And then he's gone. And I thought, oh, he left me alone. Oh, thank God, you know. And so I punched it. I floored it. And I was going, like, 60 miles an hour to get away, you know. And then the next thing I know, he's right behind me. His lights are flashing. And so, you know what I did, Patrick?
What'd you do, Steve?
Well, I thought, you know, what I really need right now is to get away. So, I floored it. He floored it.
Wait. Were you on, what kind of road were you on?
I was in a side street right now, a neighborhood street.
60 on the neighborhood.
25 mile an hour. I'm going.
Steve,
like
I want rights for the script about your life, okay?
Yeah, you're scandalizing our audience right now, Steve.
I'm paying you top dollar. Keep going.
I'm
going
to just finish it by saying the car, if you're going 130 miles an hour and you're trying to take a turn, it doesn't stay on the road. And so what happened was is the car went sideways, hit a guardrail, was basically cut in half, and then I thought the best thing to do at this time was to, you know, continue to get away. I tried to start the car back up. I didn't notice that, you know, it was cut in half or whatever. And, you know, as I'm trying to start the car back up, the police officer walked up to the door, and I rolled down my window, and I looked at him, and he looked at me with shock on his face, and I just simply asked him, "What seems to be the problem, officer?"
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So he really didn't think that was funny. He grabbed me. He took me out of the car. He handcuffed me, and, you know, that was the beginning of one of many bad experiences in my life. So,
hold on, really quick. Have you ever come across this cop again?
Yes.
So he knows that you're all. I'm a Catholic street evangelist.
No. I came across the cop again. Other times that I had been arrested.
Oh my gosh.
You need to go back to him now and let him know that Jesus is Lord in your life.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Keep going, Steve.
Anyway. I got involved after this in drugs and alcohol, partying, girls, all the things that a good young Christian man would not be involved in. I was involved in this. But look, one of the things is I was looking for God, but I didn't realize it, right? I was looking for something to fill me.
Yep.
And the things of this world is where I looked, and none of that filled me. And so,
now, Steve, I have a question. Yeah. After this accident, the drug, like, and everything, did you ever get in trouble again, or did that kind of scare you straight?
Oh no. I mean, it didn't scare me straight. I just one thing after the next after the next. I just, you know, I was really off the rails. And
wow.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I'm not exactly sure how many times I was arrested. Not only did I do drugs, but I sold them. And
so I'm starting to see this is why Steve does street evangelization, because he couldn't get his BCI report, the fingerprinting report, to clear through for parish to volunteer.
I can't work in the four walls of the church.
Yeah, you can't volunteer for youth ministry at the parish, so you had to do street evangelization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Starting to understand how this ministry was formed.
No, yeah. Keep going, Steve.
No, you know, and so like I said, I mean, the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, everything that the world that I thought I needed to make me happy didn't satisfy.
Yeah, amen.
And around this time, you know, after I got arrested for the first time, and I just put my mom through a whole bunch of, I mean, torment, you know, and I really think I drove her to her knees. And so, you know, as I was going, getting in a lot of trouble, she started coming back to her faith, and She really got on fire for the faith and came back full force. And then she tried to, you know, pass that faith along on to me. But by this time, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't willing to listen. So she did a lot of praying for me, which, you know, that's the most important thing that we can do for another person who's not on the right path, right?
Mm-hmm.
You live by example and pray and speak when you need to. But it wasn't until I was 30 years old where I had hit, I would say, a rock bottom. I had hit a point in my life where I was willing to listen to the voice of God in deep in my soul. And just one night I hit my knees and I said, "All right, God, I don't know, you know, if you exist or not, but if you do, I would really like you to show me, like, prove to me, Lord, that you are real." And I didn't get like a vision or an apparition or anything like that, but I would say I got a super abundant amount of grace and a desire in my heart to search for truth. And eventually that led me to Christianity and then finally to the Catholic Church.
So you weren't even like you didn't have a Christian worldview. Was it like a relativism? What would you call it where you were?
Well, I'll say this. The last thing I wanted to do at that point was become a Christian.
Got it.
You know, my mom was the crazy Catholic lady, you know, the zealous Catholic who went to daily mass. And, you know, and I knew that if
Well, Steve, hold on. We've got to go to a break, but when we come, you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Patrick Rice, and we're on the show with Steve Dawson. When we come back, we're going to hear the next part of actually where Steve had a conversion and came into the church. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Right now, we're joined on the air with Steve Dawson. Steve, can you continue your story of conversion?
Yeah, so just to go back, so I hit my knees. I asked God, if you exist, you got to show me, prove it to me, basically. I gave God the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. It wasn't that I didn't get a vision, but he gave me an extraordinary amount of grace to search for truth. And like I said, I eventually that drove me into the arms of Jesus Christ in His church, the Catholic mm-hmm. Church. So yeah, so Patrick, that's the very short version. And if you want me to expand on any part of it, just let me know.
So I have a question. Where did you actually end up getting involved and actually start growing and seeking?
So, involved in the church?
Yeah. Was there a parish, a priest, or anything like that?
Yeah, so the parish by my house was St. Hugo of the Hills in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. And one of the good things about it was that it had a small chapel that they left open most hours. So I would just go in there and do adoration and talk to the Lord and just kind of meditate and that sort of thing. So it was really helpful.
And then what happened to, like, actually bring you, like, what convicted you to actually, like, re-engage in your Catholic faith? Or when did it become, like, real for you?
It probably became most real when I realized that I was spiritually dead. That I needed to get to confession. Mm-hmm. As soon as, because I did a lot of research. Okay, first of all, does God exist? And if He does, you know, is He a personal God? Is He just some sort of force? You know, this sort of thing. So I studied proofs for the existence of God, and eventually I came to realize that He does exist. But who is this? Does He want us to know about Himself? Did He make Himself known? And eventually that led me to Christianity, and eventually back to the Catholic Church. Now, as soon as I realized that the Catholic Church was the church that Jesus founded and that He gave it His authority and that it could not be wrong on matters of faith and morals, I just studied the teachings of the church. And, I mean, what gripped me was not only, you know, God's love for us, that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us, to save us, to give us eternal life. But, you know, the teaching of the church on salvation, you know, how are we saved? We come into this life spiritually dead. We get the life of God in us through baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And by God's grace, 100% by God's grace, but we need to respond to that grace. And if we commit serious sin, we break our relationship with God, and if we die in that state, you know, we cannot go to heaven. We go to the other place.
So
right?
you started basically everything started to make sense and click, right?
Yeah, everything started to come together, and I realized that I was not cool with God. Like, I came to believe that it was true, but I didn't have a relationship. My relationship with God was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the gospel, right? The gospel is good news, bad news, and good news in our response. So the good news is God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He loves us so much. He wants to be in a relationship with us. But the bad news is we've broken that relationship with God. We've destroyed our relationship with God through sin. The following good news is, well, God wants to restore our relationship. You know, He died
yep.
for us. So
Amen.
Our response is we need to repent and believe. So I think today, you know, many people, many Christians have maybe a skewed view of the good news. They see the good news that God is good, He loves us, He's merciful, that He wants to be in relationship with us. But the good news really doesn't fully make sense if we don't understand the bad news.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Martin, Ralph Martin, has that's been a big point for his teaching on evangelization. So you started St. Paul Street Evangelization, but how did that start? Like, what kind of brought that forth? What encounters can you share with us?
Yeah, sure. After I got to confession. By the way, when I went to confession, I had my mom call a priest that she knew. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I was like, oh, man, I need to go to confession right now. She's like, we can wait till tomorrow, Steve. I said, no.
Well, I might be dead
now.
Tomorrow. Right now. Don't you love me?
Well, I'll call this priest. And he answers the phone, and I get on the phone with him, and he says, well, I think this can wait till tomorrow. And I said, Father, if I die tonight, what would happen to me?
Wow.
And he said, why don't you come on in? And so he walked me through a confession that took over an hour, and I walked away from there with a penance of 13 rosaries.
Wow.
And it took me months
to finish because
I didn't know how to pray the rosary.
He wasn't even a tradie.
He didn't know how to pray the rosary.
So, but anyway, after that, I was on fire. You know, I really, the Lord just flooded me. I was on fire for the faith. I just wanted to learn everything I could. One of the things that I learned was that, hey, I'm Catholic. I'm called to evangelize. I'm called to share the faith. I realized that if I really believed in Jesus Christ, if I really believed in His church and what it teaches, especially about salvation, that not only did I have a desire to share the faith, not only was that like something that I should be doing, but it was something that I had to do. I had a duty.
Amen.
To evangelize. As the Catechism of the Catholic Church says in paragraph 1816, I knew that evangelization was necessary for my salvation. It says it right there in the Catechism. I said, well, why? Well, because if you have this great gift, this treasure, and you refuse to share it with the world, then that is an act of pure selfishness.
Mm-hmm. It's like, right? you're bearing your one talent, right?
Yeah, I mean,
yep.
Look, if I had the cure for cancer and I kept it to myself, that everybody would realize that I would be that would prove that I was a wicked person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Even look at like the companies that are charging like $1,000 for an EpiPen, right? That's the same type of thing, you know. No, that's such a good analogy, dude. So, how did you first start sharing it? Is there a story that you can kind of share that gives us some context for what you did?
So I realized I was called to evangelize. I realized as a Catholic I was called to evangelize, but I didn't know how to go about doing it. And I heard the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe. One of the things that he would do was he would pass out miraculous medals. For him, it would make, I think, evangelization easy. He felt that the miraculous medal was Our Lady's silver bullet, that if he could just get the miraculous medal into somebody's hand, then that Our Lady would take over, you know, that Our Lady would bestow great graces upon the soul, that it would open the door to God, and that conversions would take place. And so I thought, well, I can do that. I can share miraculous medals. I can pass them out. To me, it made evangelization much less, you know, strange. It was easier to do. And so one day I was, in a restaurant, and I gave the waitress a miraculous medal, and that started a conversation which led to me asking her, have you ever considered becoming Catholic? And she had. Her boyfriend was Catholic, but she didn't agree with all of the teachings of the church, like, for example, on abortion. And so I just gave her a simple explanation of the church's teaching on abortion. It was very simple. It was just that, you know, from the moment of conception, you have a new human life, and it's not up to us to decide who lives or who dies. That's, you know, God's choice. It's up to us to love life. You know, God loves all life. So she was grateful. She was thankful. And I left the restaurant thinking I'd never see her again. But I did see her again, and she recognized me. It was months later, and she ran up to me, and she said, you know, I have to tell you something. That day that you gave me that miraculous medal, I had just found out I was pregnant, and I was going to have an abortion.
Whoa.
And I knew that God had sent you to be a sign for me to keep my baby. And she opened up her jacket, and she was very pregnant, and that baby is alive today, not because of me, but because of God used me, you know, to share something with her. So it was experiences like that, and I had a lot of experiences like that, which convinced me that two-minute conversations with people I had never met before, that God could use those conversations to bring grace and even to save lives. And so that's not the first life that we've been involved saving, physical life. And obviously, the Lord's used us to save many spiritual lives, too.
Wow, dude, that is so awesome. So this happened. You get encouraged. Like hope is this expectation that good things are going to come. And when we have the greatest hope in the gospel, like, you're exactly right. We should expect that a two-minute conversation can actually bring a powerful transformation and change in a person's life. So how does St. Paul Street Evangelization kind of birth forth?
Yeah, just one foot in front of the next. You know, from evangelizing in my daily life, but also to a kind of a sadness or disappointment that other Catholics that I knew weren't evangelizing. The Catholics I knew, there was a lot of talk in the church about evangelization, but not a lot of action.
Isn't that the worst?
Yeah.
Like going to talks to hear about evangelization and like leave.
Well, yeah. but then especially in the church, like and not that this is a bad thing, but so much of our evangelization happens within the church. And so we're just always looking inside. How do we evangelize the Catholics that are already in the pews, and how do we keep the Catholics in the pews? And what you're doing is more of a raw evangelization, which is out in the streets.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got to re-evangelize within the walls of our church. There's no doubt about it.
Definitely.
I mean, and, you know, how are we going to effectively evangelize the world if we can't even evangelize our own people, right?
Yep.
Anyway, we won't go down that road. But
you're preaching the choir, Steve.
We need to bring Christ to the world. We need to bring him to our parishes, but it's not an either-or. It's not like we either bring Christ to the streets and to the world at large, or we bring him into the churches. No, we got to do both.
Yeah. You sound Catholic, Steve.
And look, just because we don't have everything perfect within the walls of our church and we're not perfectly doing a perfect job evangelizing within the church doesn't mean that we need to wait before we share Christ with others.
Preach it more.
So, I was just saying to my friends, I said, hey, when was the last time you were out somewhere and you saw Catholics evangelizing? I mean, like, seriously, when was the last time you were sitting at home and some you got a knock on the door and it was some Catholics and they're like, hey, can we tell you about Jesus in the church, you know? And it had never happened to me. And not one of the people I asked that question to said, oh, yeah, it happens, you know, it ever happened. So I said, look, the Protestants are doing it, the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing it, the Mormons are doing it. I mean, other faith traditions are doing it, and they're growing, right? And we have the fullness of truth. We have the fullness of the gospel message in the Catholic Church, and we need to be out there sharing Christ with the world. It's our job. It's our duty. So, and then somebody said to me, well, okay. You're like, okay, so what do you want to do? And I said, well, let's go out somewhere. Let's do it. Let's just go out on the street corner and pass out miraculous medals and rosaries and holy cards, and we can talk to people and see what happens. And we did. We went out, and we had amazing, awesome conversations. It was just incredible. I mean, the Holy Spirit was there with us. People were coming back to church, going, joining RCIA. I think one of the greatest benefits of us being out there is many faithful Protestant, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our separated brothers, they realize, hey, these Catholics are really Christian, you know? Well, I think we cleared up a whole bunch of misconceptions, and
yes.
we still do that. And,
yes.
And made a lot of connections, and it's just been a really amazing experience. So what came out of that was I thought, well, if we could just share this with other Catholics, I think we could inspire others to do the same thing. And so we just started sharing the story. I got on social media. I made a Facebook page, and we just started sharing, you know, hey, this is what's happening with our evangelization efforts. And it started spreading. And people would get in touch with me from all over the country. They'd ask me questions like, you know, how do you do what you're doing? Where do you get rosaries? Where do you get miraculous medals? What do you think the best pamphlets are? Do you have any sort of training? And, you know, before we knew it, just putting one foot in front of the next, we were, had, I think the first summer that we started doing this, we had over 10 teams connected to us. And now it's only been like 4 years, and we have just about 300 teams now.
Wow,
300 teams.
That is so
awesome.
That's
incredible.
And so for our listeners that want to learn more about this story, Steve edited a book called Catholic Street Evangelization, Stories from the Street, that kind of goes through a lot of these glory stories. So if you get really encouraged, and I get encouraged hearing these stories in my own efforts, you can check it out. It's published by Ignatius Press. And then if you want to learn about their this ministry, it's just streetevangelization.com. Now, Steve, when I met you, you know, during 2016 early on, and when I first met you, I remember you were telling me that, like, you had this prayer for, you know, to see miracles, you know, signs and wonders, demonstrations of who God is, supernatural demonstrations to flow in your ministry. Can you tell us about this desire you saw and you had after reading the gospel?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say that in these years of, in thousands of hours of evangelization for myself personally, one of the things I notice, one of the things that's really evident is that arguments, and not arguments like in the sense that you're like yelling at somebody, but like reason alone is not enough to break through the to a hardened heart.
Mm, amen.
So I can give all the best arguments or the best reasons for a person to believe in Jesus Christ, or the person to believe that he founded a church or whatever. I mean, when it comes to these issues of faith, our culture is full of people who have hardened hearts, and it's hard to break through. And as I read the Gospels, and as I read Acts of the Apostles and the letters of Paul and the entire Bible, I realize that, you know, Jesus and the disciples, they did not necessarily go out with the best reasoned arguments. You know, what did they do? Jesus says, hey, your sins are forgiven, right? And people are saying to themselves, who is this man? He thinks he can forgive sins. What does he think? He is God or something? And he doesn't say, well, let me just explain to you all the reasons why you should believe what I have to say. He says, well, that so that you may believe, get up and walk. He says, lame man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here's
Keep
the
going.
Hand. He opens the eyes of the blind. Now, he didn't do this just so like to because he really felt, you know, sorry for people who were crippled or something like that. No, he did this to prove who he was.
Just for the record, I think he also did it because he does love and, you know, cares about their conditions. Would you agree, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm not but the
he wasn't
the
just a
is,
philanthropist, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a sign. What's it a sign of? You know, it's a sign of God's love, and it's a proof too for us. So, in the early church, the gospel is the listen. Imagine that I'm a first century Christian, and I come to you, you're pagan, and I walk up to you. Now, you have three concubines, you're living the life, you're whatever. You know,
I'm offended by that, all right? But keep going Patrick. For the sake of our interview.
I like how Patrick is the concubine, like, bearer.
Yeah. Now, imagine I say to you, listen, my buddy, his name is Jesus. He's God, and he rose from the dead. He died, but he's risen. And now I'm going to tell you something. You need to give up your sinful way and follow him, or else you're going to
burn
for all eternity.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that?
I'm so offended, Steve. I'm going to go back to my concubines now. but one of my concubines is sick. Yeah.
You're going to say go jump in a lake. So what happened? It wasn't just the fact that they used reasoned arguments. They not only were speaking the truth of Jesus, but they were proving their words through signs and wonders and exorcisms, deliverance.
Now, Steve, stop right there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the supernatural evangelization.
Sure.
So you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. We're here with Steve Dawson, and we'll have him on the flip side. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. We're on a third segment here with Steve Dawson, and Steve is sharing with us this supernatural ministry that's entering into St. Paul Street Evangelization. Steve, you're telling us about how important it is not just to speak the gospel, to proclaim it, but also to demonstrate the gospel, you know, through this supernatural ministry, the signs, wonders, and miracles, the healings, the deliverances, you know, you name it. So how are you seeing this starting to play out in your ministry?
Yeah, well, thanks, Patrick. First, I guess I just want to say that as I was realizing all these things in the gospel and how the early church spread, I wasn't yet convinced that this is what God was calling me to do. You know, I knew that this is how God, you know, one of the ways, signs and wonders were one of the ways that God spread the early church. But I was not yet convinced that God was calling me. You know, I thought, well, signs, wonders, and miracles are great for Padre Pio.
Right.
You know? But I'm just an ordinary Catholic, you know. I'm just an ordinary guy. Can God work through me? So the first thing I did is I asked my spiritual director. I said, hey, look, can I pray for this? Can I pray that, you know, that God, you know, open hearts in our ministry through miracles? And I got permission to start praying for that. And then I heard, what happened was, is as I was praying for that, I started getting people. And so if anybody's listening, pray that God starts opening hearts through signs and wonders again, because it will break open in the hearts. And pray
Amen.
For that in
Amen.
Our ministry and all anybody who's involved in evangelization. But as I was praying for this, I heard a story about this guy that I had never met before. He was a St. Paul Street Evangelization member in Ohio and in Cincinnati. And apparently his team prayed for a guy who was in a wheelchair, and that guy got out of a wheelchair and started to walk. Now, Patrick, do you know who this guy is?
Yeah, well, keep going, Steve. So you heard about this. Yeah.
So the guy's name was Patrick. And so I called Patrick, and I called you, Patrick, and I said, hey, I've been praying for this. Tell me about it. So I came out, I went out on a trip, and I started learning more about it, and at some point I just decided, hey, I need to start praying for people. I need to start just stepping out in faith. You know, God is not going to heal anybody God's not going to use me to heal anybody, at least, if I don't at least, like, step out and pray for people. You know, so over the past several months, my heart has really been open to this, and I have a hunger to work with God and a real desire to see the Lord working in powerful ways through our ministry. So I just start praying with people. And it's not like every person I pray for receives physical healing, but I can say this. Every person that I pray for is touched by God in some way.
Amen.
I mean, people start crying. People start, you know, feeling heat. I recently prayed for somebody who had a bad neck. Actually, I prayed for two different people who had bad neck who experienced some healing.
Steve, was that inside the church or outside the church?
Yeah, they were both outside the church.
Awesome.
Yeah, one lady, she had gotten into a car accident, and she said, you know, she was seeking healing for it, like, through God, and I prayed with her, and she felt a heat go through her neck as I was praying.
Wow.
And She thought she might have been healed, but she couldn't confirm it at the time. But there was definitely a physical sensation. Something was going on.
Mm.
Now, I prayed for another guy who had a same issue in his neck, and he didn't get heat. He got cold going through his neck. And he had pain when I prayed for him, but when we were done, he didn't have any pain.
Dude, that's so awesome. How awesome is it, Dan, that we could, like, you know, start talking about Jesus and then meet people in, like, their immediate need. Like, right now, like, this man, the cripple man, he's there crippled, right?
Yeah.
And then Jesus met him in that need and used that as a demonstration.
Definitely.
I mean, Dan, what's your experience like this, too? Well, did you have something happen?
Yeah, just to highlight a few things that you're talking about, Steve, that, you know, there's everyone, when you pray over a person, they always feel touched by God in some way, right? And I think a lot of times we don't pray for a person because we're scared or we're afraid, like, oh, if I pray for them, they're not going to be healed or whatever. But they're going to be touched in some way, no matter what. Whether or not the physical healing happens, they're going to be touched by God's love. And, like, I can't tell you how often I've just prayed over with someone on the street. And by the end of the prayer, a one-minute interaction between us, they're in tears, right? That God has penetrated their heart and they've felt love. And people are so hungry for love. And who is love? Jesus, right? Jesus, God is love. And so they experience the powerful presence of God. So we were on a retreat. We were running a retreat last week for 50 guys, all right? They're senior guys, 18-year-olds. And on the retreat, I had a small group of 9 guys. And I was going through the small group. And I asked the guys at the beginning of the retreat, I asked them a simple question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank your relationship with God? Where 1 being low, 10 being high, right? And the whole circle was like, I had a few zeros. I was like, that's not even on the scale. I had a couple ones. Guys were sharing that they were atheists or agnostics because of events in their past or because they just have never, they don't see any evidence of the presence of God in the world. I had a lot of fours and fives in my small group. And so at the end of the group, I asked them, I said, okay, gentlemen, what's it going to take for that number to increase? What would it take for a zero to become a 2? What would it take for a 5 to become an 8, right? And every single one of them, person by person, said, I would need to experience God in some way. I would need to encounter God's presence in some way. I would need to taste the power of God. So I go to my buddy, Aaron, who's helping us lead the retreat after the small group. And I say, Aaron, these guys need an encounter with the power of God, right? And so what we're dedicated, we pray at that moment, Aaron and I, we say, Lord, we pray that you would bring your power here in this place, that you would transform these young men's hearts and allow them to see your presence, to encounter your presence, to experience your presence. So the retreat goes on. We're playing a game. And if you've ever been on a retreat with me, we just play a lot of crazy, silly games, right?
There can be dangerous.
Yeah. So I've we're playing there. This game where you strap 2 balloons, 1 to each ankle.
I thought you were going to say dynamite.
That would be cool, too. And you have to pop these balloons. So, like, we've got these 50, like, senior guys, like, running around trying to stomp each other's balloons, right? And during this game, one of the small group leaders, so he was a college student who's on our team, he tripped and literally just falls down to the ground screaming. And this guy, he's a big college guy. He's an athlete. He's strong. He's not, like, wimpy at all. He's on the ground holding his ankle, screaming, right? And it just immediately starts to swell. It was clearly broken. And we're just like...
He heard a snap, too.
Yeah, I was right next to him. And so all the guys kind of... Clearly, we stopped the game. And all the guys kind of take a knee. And we're sitting there as he's just suffering. And so I was like, guys, why don't we pray right now for Brad? And so we stopped and we said a prayer, and it was neat because these 50 senior guys, some of which are agnostics and atheists, were praying that God would heal Brad. And then Brad gets up and 2 guys help carry him off to the nurse's station. We had like an area and Brad's ready to go to the hospital. We're going to send him to the hospital to get x-rays and everything. And we transition the guys in and we start our evening prayer session with these guys. And we preach the gospel, basically, that Jesus Christ came and he suffered and died. He performed signs and wonders that he wants us to encounter him in the same way that others encountered him. And as we're preaching the gospel to these guys, another one of our leaders, Aaron, he's in the back room, and he prays again for healing for Brad's ankle. And sure enough, the ankle is completely healed, and the pain goes from a level 9 down to no pain at all.
Wow.
And Brad, who literally, like, probably a half hour before couldn't walk or put any weight at all on his foot, comes walking back into the room with these 50 guys. And he's like, gentlemen, I am completely healed. Like, I don't feel any pain at all in my ankle. And these guys are blown away. So then we start asking the guys, does anyone else have pain or hurt in their lives or in friends' lives that they would like to pray for healing for? And these senior guys who had been closed off to the gospel initially are now totally open. And they're raising their hands and saying, like, this person in my life is suffering. Can we pray for it? And we just start this beautiful time of intercessory prayer. And then we lead them in a time of response where through worship music and ministry, they can give their lives over to Jesus Christ. And we facilitate them going before the cross and venerating the cross and really consecrating their life over to Jesus. And so at the end of the night, we ask them, how many of you, we had them close their eyes. We asked them, how many of you have given your life over to Jesus and for the first time in your life? 11 out of the 50 guys
what?
Raised their hand. So more
right.
than, that's like 20%, right?
And that never happens at that school.
Yeah. So they raised their hand that this was the first time this night that they gave their life over to Jesus Christ. And then we asked those guys to stand up. And they stand up in the presence of their classmates, 18-year-old men standing up in front of other 18-year-old guys. And they witnessed the fact that they gave their life. So the proclamation of the gospel was so valuable. But Jesus also wants us to encounter and to experience his power, which predisposes hearts to give their lives over to Jesus Christ more, which is just such a neat reality. I think I could have tried to argue and intellectually prove the existence of God to these guys for hours upon hours, and yet they would be unconvinced.
Mm-hmm.
But when they experienced the power of God, when they saw the power of God, their hearts were transformed.
So we have to come to a close in the show. Steve, we got listeners out there. They want to be equipped. They want to get involved. Well, how can they learn more about your ministry? What are some tips you would give them right now?
Yeah, so streetevangelization.com, and that's how you get involved with us. You know, if you're a faithful Catholic and you have a heart for the gospel, you have a heart for Jesus and his church, you can be a great evangelist. In fact, Jesus is calling you to be a great evangelist. Now, I think a lot of people out there listening right now are called to street evangelization, to go out into the public squares and give witness. But not everybody is called to that, you know. My advice would be just do something. Get some miraculous medals and hand them out to random people and see and allow God to start conversations. Be more bold with your coworkers and family members. Pray for healing. You know, you guys... you guys, I know, Patrick, you know, a lot of people are very gifted in healing. I mean, I'm not that gifted, but I still try, you know. In fact, all I do is try. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I put myself out there for God, and I just encourage anybody who's listening to do that and to just give your life
Amen.
Anew every
Amen.
Day to that, Jesus.
Yeah, let's just pray that in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right. Father God, we thank you. And Father, I pray that you stir up a hunger in every listener there, that they would have the faith and desire to minister like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to preach like Jesus, to heal like Jesus, to bring the sign, the wonder, and the miracle wherever it's needed like Jesus. So Lord, we can't do these things, but I just know that when we call out for more, you give it to us. So we just pray, come Holy Spirit, and renew us, empower us, enlighten us in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. On behalf of Dan and I pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. To learn more about us or the show or how you can share your encounter, please visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Thanks and God bless.